Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. And today we are reading from the big book, and the chapter There Is a Solution. We'll be on page 24 today, finishing out that particular page with the fourth paragraph. Begins with this sort of thinking, when this sort of thinking is fully established, and ends at the top of 25 with so many want to stop but cannot. We're going to unpack that one single paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Karen B., reading the text today in support of Elaine T., Wendy B., and Kathy G., and then to round out this meeting, I said that a couple times today, Ramona A. is going to invite newcomers and sponsors to give contact information, and Leslie M. will give the announcements here at a vision for you. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, May 6, 2019, is 12866, 12,866. And then for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened just this morning, Tuesday, May 7th, that share ID number is 12867, 12,867. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our meeting, let's say this again. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Laura R. from Colorado. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. And I will now ask Karen B. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Karen B. in Utah. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve today, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that would mean that *1 function, please, on your phone keypad. And this would be for the purposes of a good solid sound recording. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 24, unpacking the last paragraph, which is paragraph 4. When this sort of thinking is fully established, and I will ask Elaine T. to open us up by reading that paragraph and sharing her experience, strength, and hope. Hi, Elaine.
Good morning. Thanks for letting me share. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history, but for the grace of God. There would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. So many want to stop, but cannot. Well, I was definitely one of those people. As a matter of fact, I knew quite early. I was a compulsive overeater. I recall sneaking and hiding food and stealing food when I was 6 years old. And I tried diets, you know, my parents would suggest things, and perhaps one of my siblings might even try something that worked for them, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so, kind of like the previous paragraph, I got to the point of saying, what's the use anyhow? And so it wasn't until I was 40 that I realized what was wrong with, well, it wasn't until I came into OA that I had a clue of what was wrong with me. I knew I was bodily different than other people. And I kind of knew that sugar was one of those substances that made me crazy. But I only recognized the part of making me crazy for the food. I didn't recognize the behaviors that came along with that, and how I dealt with other people or didn't deal with other people, as the case might be. And thank God, coming into the rooms, I was able to get initially recovered, because I did go through the fourth and fifth, actually up to the ninth step. But for the grace of God, I was one of those who got recovered, and I was delighted. I didn't know the word at the time. I didn't know the word until I found vision. But I did know that I was doing better. And I was definitely beyond human aid. I just didn't know how to tap in until I got to the vision, to the 10th step, to tap into my higher power on a daily basis, to keep from going around the circle again and again and again and again, because the obsession of the mind, which was my bigger problem, kept leading me back to the food and then back to the insanity. And today, I don't, hopefully, I can say today, for today, I am able to reach out to my higher power. I am able to be more sane. I'm able to be a better person in the world. And I am eternally grateful for everything that I've gone through, despite the relapses, because I know that each time I learn something more about myself and about, you know, this program and what I have to do to stay sane. And so I'm glad to be back with you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Elaine T. The lines are now open for folks to share, additional folks to share on paragraph 4, page 24 of the big book, when this sort of thinking is established. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I can put you down.
Jennifer H.
Hi, Jennifer H.
Carrie S.
Carrie S, hi.
Maya K.
Maya, hi, Maya.
Julie E.B.
Hi, Julie.
Mo H.
Hi, Mo.
Patty T.
Patty T, let's go with that lineup this morning. Okay, that gives other people another chance. So we have Jennifer, Carrie, Maya, Julie, Mo, and Patty. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning. You're up first.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. I'm Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama. And I just wanted to share really quickly, you know, how amazing it was and how I knew that no human power was going to be able to relieve me. You know, one of the examples was here at my last over a year ago when I was getting to that bottom, I remember being at my doctor's office and saying, if you want me to go to a dietitian or nutritionist, you know, just refer me and I'll do it. Whatever you suggest, I will do. And so she sent me to one. And then this person at that appointment, you know, she started telling me, well, do this and do that. And by the end of it, tears were just coming down my face. And she said, what's the matter? And I said, I don't know. And later, you know, once I became entirely abstinent, I realized, you know, it was because I knew I was never going to be able to do it. I was not going to be able to do what she was saying. And then when I finally, you know, listened to the vision meetings for about 3 months, and then I finally got up enough, whatever, to call a person who said they were available to be a sponsor and ask her to sponsor me. And then we set up our first phone meeting, and when she said, are you willing to give up the alcoholic food, you know, the biggie for me was sugar, and I said, I can't imagine that would be possible, but I'm willing to try. And then she told me, you know, suggested that I look at all the labels, and from that moment forward, there wasn't any more sugar. And the only thing I can figure is, you know, one compulsive overeater working with the other, you know. She recommended me to a professional to help me with my plan of eating. And, you know, as long as I kept picking up the tools, you know, and working the steps and doing all the things in vision, it has happened. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. Carrie, yes, you're next. And then Maya will come in after you, Carrie.
Thanks so much. Good morning. This is Carrie S., recovered in Colorado. And I was not wanting to share this morning. And so my higher power was basically saying to me, you need to share. And so here I am just claiming my seat that I am beyond human aid, Thank you, God, that this disease has driven me to seeking my higher power, that I definitely am a compulsive overeater, and that it is a progressive illness. And I think what really helped me early on in program was that I had to fully concede that it is a progressive illness, and that I can spiral down the toilet just as rapidly as I can recover just as rapidly. So that hope, and watching other people and listening to all of you, your hope has helped me. And I just have to share that this program is such a miracle. I've been witnessed recently to a newcomer in our rooms go through these steps within a couple months, and has had this entire psychic change, hasn't had this awakening. And it is so miraculous that I just, you know, it's beyond, I'm beyond words to be able to share it. I'm definitely leaning into connecting more and more, because my disease is a disease of isolation. I want to think that I'm unique, that I don't need to practice getting on the lines. And that's not true. My mind is the scary dark place that I do not want to go. And if I can just practice today leaning in and asking my higher power for help, then connecting with you is the answer for me today and the solution. So thank you so much for being there, Mel, and have a beautiful day. I pass.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Carrie S. Maya K., you're up, and then Julie E.B. will follow.
Hi.
I'm on Maya K. Hi.
Okay. I'm not used to this, so. Hi, I'm Maya K. From NIAC, Compulsive Overeater and Bulimic. I just wanted to share, I don't usually, but I really related to the paragraph when I heard the shares. I was thinking back how I always felt like everybody else seemed, I think I always thought everybody had an eating problem, but everyone could handle it, I guess, as a little kid. But after being in program for so long, I really have, can you guys hear me? I don't know.
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. But after all this time, I think my program feels really strong right now, because I've really been trying to work step three more than ever, instead of saying, like, you know, God, just, you know, your will be done, not mine, amen. I used to still kind of want to do things my way. I've been changing my prayer to more like an affirmation, like, God, I only want to do your will. Like, don't let me get in my own way anymore. Like, out of real desperation. And I feel like I just really want God to run my life, and whatever that God is. And I feel like everything's just been falling into place. And it's been pretty miraculous, and I've just been really having a lot of faith and just following my sponsor's advice and, you know, praying to get rid of fear and, like, just quit a toxic job, and now I'm getting job offers. And at one point, I didn't even have a job for, like, 3 minutes, and then I get a job offer. So just amazing things are happening that just seem God. And I'm just really amazed, and that one little switch has been really helping me, just saying, like, God, I only want to do your will. Please, you know, I surrender. Really, take my life. I don't want to keep throwing a wrench in it. And so this program is amazing, and I bring God in my day every day. I think I would just be lost without this power that I reach out to every day. It's really an amazing thing, you know, and it's through people, and it's by myself, and it's in my writing and everything. So I really am grateful for, you know, this new meeting I found online, the Vision for You, and studying the big book and everything. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Maya K. Julie E.B., you're next, and then Mo comes in after you.
Hi,
and everybody else, star one, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Hi, this is, I'm here. Sorry. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time. You know, it's a powerful paragraph for me that a sort of thinking has been firmly established. And I think very much, for me, a very old pattern. And I was a compulsive restrictor and dieter as well. And I always had this idea that if I got the right food plan, the right foods was strong enough, that I would somehow get everything else I wanted. But the truth was that for me, as someone shared so helpfully to me yesterday, that compulsive overeating, that compulsive undereating, they were the same disease. There was a sort of thinking that I could conquer the world, and I was beyond human aid, and I was going insane. I would act in ways that never fit with how I thought I should treat my children or my husband or, God forbid someone bring me the wrong order at a restaurant you know, I remember at one low, I mean, I took $2 soup from work because I was angry at my boss. And I'm called, first person I called said, was in the food and was like, what, huh? Second person I called said, oh, yeah, I've done things like that. This is where this disease takes me. But there's a way back. And these stark and ugly facts about myself and what I thought I should be, perfect, amazing, wonderful, that I could never live up to. So then I was horrible, bad, terrible, shame. They were confirmed by the legions of thoughts in my head. And I just, that just drove me deeper into the food. But here in this book, there's this talk of grace, which is undeserved gift. You get a grace period at the library. And this grace period to just get through the steps and think about the thousands and hundreds of thousands of convincing demonstrations of people, that there is no other way out except to say that I cannot do this by myself. I need you and I need my higher power. I cannot do this alone. And that is surprisingly hard to say, and cuts against everything else. One more thing, I remember my sponsor one time in another program saying, you need to reach out to more people. And I said, you don't know how hard it is for me to just reach out to you. Well, she did know. And yet I needed to have a lot of different voices. So I didn't depend on just one, but so I developed a higher power. And thanks for letting me share today. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Mo H., you're next. And then Patty comes in after you, and then the lines are going to be open for more folks to share. So you want to take a look at page 24 in your big book, fourth paragraph, when this sort of thing is fully established, is what we're studying today. Thanks for this extra second there, Paul. Good morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Melanie, for your service and all those giving service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. When this sort of thinking, so what sort of thinking? Well, it's about the paragraph above, that it won't burn me this time, so here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. Or, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? Or, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink. Or, what's the use anyway? And I'll tell you, I would say that the bite would go into my mouth, and I would say, what the, and then I'd be off running. And I have a note written here in my book. I'm not responsible for my first thought, but I am responsible for my first action. So when that thought comes in, whatever it be, that I want this, or why can't I have it, or why can you have it and I can't have it, or why do you get more than I get, whatever the thought is, I need to work with the thought. And thank God this big book has shown me a way of how to work with my thoughts, especially when they start going on the hamster wheel faster and faster and faster. And my thought doesn't have to be about food. It can be about a resentment that I'm having with someone, or anger, or jealousy, or whatever, or maybe financial problems. Whatever the thought is, I need to stop and pause and call in my higher power, my God, and ask for guidance. And my guidance is usually do a 10-step. Get on the phone and do a 10-step. And I've noticed that as I do these 10 steps and I make an outreach call after a 12-step call, that I get out of myself and I serve others. And for me, that's what will help the thought is, how can I be of service? What can I do to alleviate this mental torture? I don't want to be in mental torture anymore. It just takes up too much energy in my body. So as soon as that thought starts, whatever it be, go do a 10-step. And I think I'll pass with that. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks so much, Mo. And then it's Patty T. Your turn. And then we're going to open up the lines again right after Patty. Hey, Patty.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody that's leading the meeting this morning. Gosh, these shares are fantastic. So I just want to claim my seat as a recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today, and note that the phrase fully established immediately brought to my mind Jell-O setting. Okay, so that's a gentle reminder that I am still and will forever always be a compulsive eater, an overeater, you know, Jell-O setting. And that is my insanity. I have to wake up every single morning and admit that I am powerless over this condition and that I have a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity so that I can understand what fully established really means. And in the worst part of my disease, at my bottom, which happened to be about a year ago, a little over, I had fully established the understanding in myself and conceded that without a higher power and without connection to fellows and the tools of this program, I would remain insane, bitter, and isolated. That is who I was, an angry, bitter old woman. And I didn't want to be that. I knew I didn't want to be that. But just as it says, so many want to stop, want to continue beating, want to stop being that and cannot. And I can't of my own desire, of my own power. I can't. I have to depend on others and that can lead me to my higher power. And just as was stated, you know, that 10th step, boy, working that 10th step every day or a few times a day if necessary really helped connect me to you and to my God. And I have to say, I can't be more grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Patty T. The lines are open now again for folks that want to share on that paragraph 4, page 24.
Clara, good evening.
Clara, hi.
Hi.
Hi to
Sherry
A.
KB. Hi to A. Sherry KB.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Sherry,
we'll have to see what we get as far as, yeah, I got you, Sherry. Thanks so much. You're just above Laura R. there. Okay, so we have Clara G, Ida A, Sherry KB, and Laura R. Let me see what time allows in after that. Hi, Clara. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. This is Clara G. from Wisconsin. In this paragraph that says we can go permanently insane, and when I came into the program, I was permanently insane. And actually, I am insane if I don't work the steps. I like in step two that talks about restoring to sanity, because it's like, okay, I am insane, completely insane. The way I act with food is not normal. It's not what a sane person does. And I was kind of relieved to know that it's not that it's stupid. It's not stupid. It's insane. I'm like, oh, all right, that sounds good, because now in step two it can be fixed. And so I just wanted to say that. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks so much, Clara. Now we have Ida A., and then Sherry, you'll follow after Ida.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Thanks for being there, and everybody, thanks for being here. Ida here from Northern British Columbia, a grateful compulsive overeater, and that won't change, but what is changing is my thinking, which kind of rocks. So I did not know, probably for decades, but this sort of thinking was absolutely fully established in me. And I was beyond human aid. I would not have admitted to anybody, not even if you put a gun to my head, maybe then, but only then. I would deny it, I'd minimize it, I'd repress it, and I probably raged over it more than I remember. I know for years, none of you anywhere would have dared poke the bear, so to speak, because I was filled with anger, but no awareness. And so today, thanks to a little bit of willingness, and a lot of program. Today, thanks to a little bit of surrender, a little bit of giving in, and it's growing, with the food down, my creator shows up. And today, little by little, my thinking is changing, little by little. And I did need new management. Ida management kind of sucks. So again, I was in denial of it, so new management rocks. And I'm learning how unkind I was to me, so unkind. And so how could I ever be loving and kind to you, being so unkind to me? And today, it is just so lovely to read this and go, we are so close to there as a solution. And today I know with love and gratitude and program, I can have a creator and I can have all of you. And I feel so blessed. Two meetings today. How rocking is that? Thanks, everybody. Blessings. I pass.
Thank you, Ida A. Sherry KB, you're next, and then Laura R.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service and Team Tuesday, and welcome newcomers. You know, when I read this, you know, he's probably placed himself beyond human aid, this lowest status thinking. It reminds me of the last part of Bill's story where it says that an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I know that when I've been face down in the food, I'm definitely an unlovely creature. And, you know, I'm insane. I'm ran by my disease, which is my self-will and self-reliance, and I'm not relying on God, and God's not anywhere to be found. But because of this program and because of getting recovered, you know, whenever I was in the food, things always got worse. But when I got into this program and started working the steps in this book, following the directions and connecting and getting unblocked and getting connected with a power greater than myself, my life changed dramatically, and so can yours. And that it is by the grace of God, because I couldn't do this thing. And, you know, I was placed way beyond human aid because I was trying to do it myself, and that definitely was my disease running the show. And so with getting in this book and working the steps, it is with the grace of God that I am recovered today, because I know that I wasn't doing it. I didn't get it back in the day because, you know what, I was white-knuckling it at the time. And that was me running the show, because for me, being recovered and being abstinent, you know, is I'm abstinent happily and contently and neutral around the food, where I know that is the grace of God. That is not the grace of Sherry. It's definitely the grace of God, and following these steps and being in this step work and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 and taking people through the Big Book, my life keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And without that, I don't know what I would do. And, and that promises in this book, if you go through it and you work the steps, it promises you that you will, your higher power will solve all your problems. And you know what? When I first read that, I was like, sign me up. I want this thing. And I wanted what you people had. And you know what? I've gotten what you people have, and I continue to get it because I continue to do the work. And it is by the grace of God. It definitely is by the grace of Sherry. And I'm very grateful for this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Laura R., you're next. And then I think time's going to allow for a few more people to comment on that paragraph 4, page 24. Hi, Laura.
Hey, this is Laura R. from Colorado, compulsive overeater. Grateful today. Man, I read this paragraph and just so much emotion coming up for me because I think about just before I came into OA, and I have not stayed abstinent the whole time. I've been in for about a year. On April 20th was the first time I came in last year, and this disease is just so cunning, baffling, and powerful. But I think about a year ago, the year before, the 2 years before, and just the stuff I would say, to my husband, to my friends, like, oh, I'm on the vegan diet, and I'm on this, and I'm on that, and we used to have dinner every Monday with a friend, and every Monday was different. Like, oh, I can't eat that, I'm a vegan. Oh, I can't eat that, I'm paleo. Oh, I can't eat that because I'm this. Oh, I'm binging today, so it's all good. Like, you know, and I will never forget, I was down in my basement where I do prayer and meditation, and it was this moment where I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself, you know, because I was going insane. And thank God, you know, God, I had been in the rooms for 15 years in another program, and I was like, if it worked for me there, it has to work for me here. Like, it doesn't make sense. And someone, you know, introduced me to a vision and introduced me to the big, you know, said, hey, I just take people through the Big Book. And I'm like, I get that. Like, okay, let's do it, you know. And it has been such a journey this last year. I was able to put down my other substances, but, like, putting down food, it's like, what the heck? Why? This has me, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And just within the last 2 weeks, I am telling you, like, you know, they say when you come into the rooms, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I always have said the miracle is every day. And, you know, I have been fighting and wrestling with God for 15 years, and I didn't know how. And I love the steps. I'll go through the steps. I'll do the steps. You know, I'm a performer, and I'll go there. But for some reason, I didn't realize that I have been playing God the whole dang time. And it's been hard. I mean, these 15 years of letting go of different things, it's been so hard. And it's such a struggle. And to be married is a struggle. And to be a mom is a struggle. And you know, to be abstinent is a struggle. And it's like, what the heck? You know, okay. And this too, when I was early recovery a while ago, someone said, please, like, I promise it gets better. And I remember looking at her, and I had 90 days of sobriety 15 years ago, and I was like, okay, I'm coming. And I am so grateful. Like, I knew something had to shift or something had to be different with God. And so it's so cool because something 15 years, like, don't give up before the miracle happens. Something's happening with my higher power. And I'll end with this. It's just so amazing because something happened from my head to my heart a couple weeks ago, and it's like, oh, my God, like, I get it. I've been playing you, and I'm so sorry, and I'm powerless, and I am on step one. Like, you know, it's just like, take it, God. I can't. You can't. I fight. I'm tired. The flag is up, but for the grace of God, you know, and that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura R. The lines are open for additional people to share. Looks like time's going to allow for maybe three or four more to comment on that paragraph. Would you like to press star one, please? Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Rosie A.
Rosie A.
Leslie.
Jennifer C.
Leslie C. Is that what it is?
That's it. Thanks, Melanie.
And then I heard a Jennifer. So we might get to Jennifer. But grab that up just in case. And that would be it, looks like, I think. So we have Nancy, Rosie, Leslie, and perhaps Jennifer. So hang on, Jennifer. Don't go anywhere. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Nancy, recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. That last sentence so many want to stop but cannot. And I am one of those. I'm recovered, but I still know that in and of myself, I cannot do this. This is coming from a power much higher than me. It, not that I have any power, because I was completely powerless over the food for about 5 decades. And, you know, it's just never too late. If there's anybody out there that's in their older years, it is never too late. I started my abstinence journey in my late 50s. And I'm very, very grateful to say that I have a solution today. Every day, every minute I breathe, I have a solution. I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Oh, Rosie A., you're up, and then Leslie will follow you. Leslie will follow you. Star one, Rosie A.
Oh, hi, this is Rosie A., and I'm in Florida, and I was just, I listen all the time, and I never share, but I love this Beyond Human Aid. I have to remember this all the time. Yeah, I have Recovering Another program. I know this big book works, and I just need to stop, like, running the show. And anyway, thank you all for being here. Pass.
Thanks, Rosie. Hey, I think this is going to free up time for more, so get ready, Jennifer. I'll bet you'll have a chance. Let's see, where are we looking at? Leslie C., you're up. Star one.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mel, for your service today, and I'm grateful for the willingness to share. So the demonstrations in my experience were, you know, I gave up. I gave up over and over and over again. What's the use? You know, that was my foolish and fully established thinking, you know. And so many times I wanted to stop. You know, I didn't really even know. I had no clue what was wrong with me before I came to program, but I knew I wanted to stop the vicious cycle that I lived every day of just binging and obsessing about where and when and where and how I was going to get more of sugar, you know. What really, the realization I'm coming through today is I need to remember that I have placed myself beyond human aid. I did. And the human that most certainly could not help me is myself. I cannot help myself stop compulsively overeating. I need lots of fellows, and I need a lot of higher power. And so I've been surrendered again, well, probably for the first time ever in program since the beginning of the year. And it still can be a daily struggle if I don't, you know, follow the directions in the big book. And, you know, not following the directions is something fully established in me. So I need to really, really work at it. So I'm not very eloquent this morning, except I just really realized today that the human who can help me the least is myself. And that means I am eternally grateful for all my fellow humans in program. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leslie C. Jennifer P., you're up.
Thanks, Melanie. Thanks, everyone, for doing service and for being there. And I'm really grateful that I'm just willing to press star one, you know, and not think too much, because my thinking keeps constantly getting me into trouble. And I, looking over this paragraph, I guess this is such a great paragraph, and you know, it's talking about the fact, and like the fact is that I can't stop this on my own. And for a long time, I would say, well, you know, it says unable at certain times. So that means, like, I don't know when it's going to come back, but, you know, maybe I can play around with it a little, whether it's the thinking or the eating or whatever it is, you know, before I found this meeting. But now, you know, and then having been in a relapse, it's been like it would be every day that the thinking would come back. So I knew it was going to come back. And I just have to, there's no just, like, it's all hard. It's all work. But it's like pick my heart. And I know I have to stay connected. And that means not just paying lip service to it, but I have to stay connected to my higher power and to people in the program who are also doing it. Because I am without defense. I'm totally without defense against the first bite. And I think that I have a defense until I don't have a defense. You know, like my thinking is sound and sane and I'm not going to pick up and I'm going to be nice to everyone and I'm going to do all the right things until some mental twist, you know, the twist twists, and then I am doing the opposite and it's not sane and it's not kind and it's, you know, just the insanity of it. And I just have to keep staying right there, like in that spot, and not allowing or entertaining the thought or of, well, I was abstinent yesterday so I can take a break today, or I was abstinent 5 minutes ago so I can take a break now. I need a break. Like this idea of a break that I've been giving myself is always what leads me back into the food. So, you know, I don't know, cannot take a break from connecting to my higher power, who I believe is my intuition and the great reality deep down within, and just everything that I can't control, which is pretty much everything. And that for me, that what I need to do is take the next right action. And that can be, you know, pressing star one, making a call, helping someone else, like whatever it is, but it's not putting the food in my mouth and it's not compulsively acting out on other behaviors. Thanks for letting me share.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jennifer P. There's time for one more person to share for their 3 minutes. Press star one if you're interested in finishing out this meeting with us.
Michelle?
Deborah P.
I got Michelle. Sorry, Deborah. Go ahead, Michelle.
Michelle J. from Arkansas. This is such an exciting time for me, you all, because I'm going through my 12 steps for the first time, and as I'm listening to this third step, which was a ways back, was on surrender. And you know, I've had to learn, as I'm almost into my 10th step, yay, every day. Yesterday was gone, it's gone, just let it go. Tomorrow, well, don't worry about that yet. Surrender daily. I need to get up moment by moment. There's this book that I really love, and in this book, my higher power says, if it's really hard, if your burden is really hard, if it's difficult for you, I'll carry it for you. I'll do it for you. Let me have it. And you know, I've heard that for 33 years. And I was unable to do it because my own pride, my own self-sufficiency, my fears, my resentments, all those things that I've been able to, through God's grace, carve away at in the first, you know, 9 steps that I've been in now. It's been so good because I have given it up and surrendered every moment of 24 hours. And I just want to say, just keep surrendering. It's that third step. And you don't have to worry about yesterday and you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just let it go. And it'll work. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Michelle J. We just have about 90 seconds or so left. And rather than squeezing somebody else's share, if you don't mind, I'd just like to take that time and put it over towards the newcomer and greet them and see if we have some that would like to leave their numbers on the line. So with that in mind, I'd like to thank everyone that shared today and get prepared for closing out our recorded portion of this particular meeting. So thanks again to the Team Tuesday and everybody that participated. The shares were awesome. We'll now close this portion of our meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer as we prepare to go over to the next last piece of our meeting unrecorded. Will Wendy B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you, and